Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. At the October annual meeting of the Arctic Circle, the Association of Governments, Non-Governmental Organizations, Academic Institutions, and Civil Society Groups with Interest in the Arctic, the ever-increasing presence of China continued to affirm the renewed geopolitical competition in the region, further amplified by the accelerating impacts of climate change and the melting of the circumpolar sea ice. Heretofore, the Arctic, if anyone considered it at all, was preemptively the concern of the eight nations with direct Arctic access, a Western focus, the East being excluded by natural barriers and focus elsewhere. China made its first important foray into this dialogue in 2013 when it was officially recognized as an Arctic observer. In 2016, when it announced a formal initiative, the Polar Silk Road, a declared strategy to assert its economic power from Asia into Europe by road, train, and shipping systems to accommodate expansion of Chinese production and trade, and in 2018 with the publication of an Arctic White Paper, a major policy statement of justification and specific action. The unique marine and terrestrial ecosystems of the Arctic are now very much more available, economic value enhanced by depletion elsewhere, new technologies, climate realities, and national aspirations. The prize, as valued by Ecosystem Service Analysis in 2017, was estimated at some $281 billion a year in terms of food, mineral extraction, oil production, tourism, hunting, existing value, and climate regulation. It is a shocking figure, filled with implication for the regional environment, the local communities, and economic development opportunities in the future. It is an inevitable locus for Chinese interest and investment. With the opening of the Northern Sea Route, more direct connection with its land links and target markets is reduced in time and space, with financial advantage through a circumenclosure of Europe and increased access to the U.S. and Canadian North Atlantic markets. The white paper makes for interesting reading. It offers a list of the highest intentions, acknowledging existing national claims and international agreements, projects continuing, serious investment in exploration and scientific study, and commits to cooperative bilateral treaties for specific intents, policy coordination, infrastructure connectivity, unimpeded trade, financial integration, what it calls a blue economic passage between China and Arctic states on almost every aspect of future development. The tone is responsible and collaborative. The rights of nature and indigenous people are solemnly affirmed. The sense of peace and harmony for these interactions assured. It appears progressive, reasonable, and inevitable. To my view, the Chinese claim seemed overtly preemptive. The logic of their presence and influence goes against the certainties of the past, but they had expanded observer status almost to full and equal rights by simply being there. Further, in the list of policies and positions, below the blandishments and commitment to exploration, environmental protection, and cultural understanding, there was a key section on utilizing Arctic resources, with several very specific implications. 1. Developing of the Arctic shipping lanes. 2. Exploration and exploitation of oil, gas, mineral, and other non-living resources. 3. Conservation and utilization of fisheries and other living resources. The penultimate commitment pledges to the principles of extensive consultation, joint contribution and shared benefits, emphasized policy coordination, infrastructure connectivity, unimpeded trade, financial integration, and closer people-to-people ties. In other words, a full seat at the Arctic table, like it or not. The compelling interest in the natural wealth of the Arctic is not new news. It has been an underlying subtext in all prior meetings of the Arctic Circle. Noble commitments to biodiversity, sustainability, indigenous communities, and traditional culture notwithstanding. What is interesting now is the arrival of a bumptious, muscular new player with equal interest, advanced technology, more capital, autocratic decision-making, and fulsome determination. As genteel as it was all made to sound, it was a claim to power, pure and simple. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
Thank you.